This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. Always one of our favorites. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. So been a busy few months for Kyle as kind of break down now that the draft's over, Kyle, of I'm still looking, and I, like a lot of people, probably kind of put together a little depth chart of what it looks like and who realistically can play and how you upgrade things. And we still look a little light at some positions, especially cornerback. I think we're still light at offensive line. And do we need a defensive tackle that can pass rush a little bit of a Christian Calais combination?
Yeah. I think the first thing for me is I'm not surprised coming out of the draft with the needs that they had that were on the other side. And you look at it and say, yeah, we still got some needs.
Yeah, right.
I think the second wave of free agency that you're starting to really see kick off now with a couple of announcements of agreements with deals with Emmanuel Ogba to Jacksonville and Robert Woods signing. I think that they'll have a chance to get a few names off of this group. I do agree with you, probably a position flexible offensive lineman, whether that's a veteran player like a Daniel Brunskill, who used to play in San Francisco, is familiar with the scheme. I certainly agree that they need some veteran experience at corner, unless they're just going to roll super young, which what could possibly go wrong there. And I do think you need at least one more defensive lineman that's probably a 300 snap type of guy, whether that's I don't think you need the heavy-bodied stuff, I agree. I don't know how much pass rush juice I'm worried about, more so versus somebody who could do some of the stuff that Deshaun Hand did, playing kind of in the B-gap over top of tackles as a base end type thing. You think back to the Baltimore scheme, and they always had a name like Brent Urban there who was long, physical, but wasn't necessarily, hey, he's going to live in the A-gaps and really just clog stuff up. He has the ability to kind of help you set the edge of the base end and have somebody athletic play outside of him.
Besides Kenneth Grant, who I still – do you see, before we get into Kenneth Grant, their first overall pick, do you see him having pass rush skills down the road or somebody can stay in on second and third and long?
Yeah, I do. I think he has that kind of initial quickness, and with the mass that he has, it's really just a matter of making sure that you're clearing hands, because if he gets hip to hip with guys, he's so athletically like bursty, but also has the kind of mass that you're not going to have a lot of success washing him out. So I think for Kenneth, it's really just a matter of how do you get to hip relationships more consistently. I think he has enough initial short area burst to do it. But I would not be surprised if that's part of his kind of developmental curve and you don't see that right away. And I think that's fine. I like the pick of Kenneth Grant. I think he's been typecast as a nose tackle by a lot of folks because of his weight, but he played 72% of his snaps in his career at Michigan playing in the B gap.
Yeah. And I try to tell Omar that we got to stop with the nose tackle too much stuff. Because some of these guys, you can't have like four nose tackles. You got to have some guys that got to play out a little bit. Jordan Phillips, Zeke Biggers. What's your take on where they fit in and how quickly can they help this team?
Yeah, I think Biggers has kind of a longer road to playing defensive snaps. What's interesting about Zeke is he does have 4 career block kicks, and he's 6'5" with an 85-inch wingspan and a 34.5-inch vert. So, it's a small part of the puzzle. But if he's going to line up on one of the guards on field goal block team, right? Like, I think that's kind of a pathway for him potentially to dressing on some game days if he gets in here and shows enough usage as far as consistently playing low. I think that's the big thing for Zeke because he's a long twitched up guy, but the pad level stuff with him is I think going to be the big determination for him and how ready he is to play. You don't have that problem with Jordan Phillips. All 6'1.5" of him, he's built like a fridge, Joe. I saw him up close in person in Dallas this year for the Shrine, and he looked like he had 10% body fat. Like he's got a great build to play inside and a ton of natural leverage, and he's got some quickness too. I think he's more of a run penetrator than he is a pass rusher as well. So I think that edge rush group of Phillips, Chop, and Chubb, those guys on obvious downs are going to do a lot of your heavy lifting from a pass rush perspective. It's just you got to be good on the early downs to get the third and longs.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because once you get 3 defensive tackles, everybody wants to know, hey, how many of them can play? How do they play them? Can some of them play together and all those type of things?
Yeah.
So we end up, we need a cornerback. And I guess the only thing that was kind of disappointing for me, I haven't talked to you about this, but and I know they had to move up to get their guard, so they gave up their 3rd-round pick, but not taking one of those cornerbacks. There were a bunch of them that went in the 3rd and 4th round. You think they tried to get somebody during that time, move up and make a move?
I do. I had heard some suggestions after kind of debriefing with people that I know that are around the league that there may have been some efforts kind of on early day 3 looking for a corner. But they end up getting an athletic guy in Jason Marshall there at 150 who the physical skill set's not the problem with him. Like he has all the goods to play. It's more so the consistency for him than I guess the solace that I take is they've been able to find some guys off the beaten path. You think about Kader Kohu and Nick Needham in recent years, and they've had some guys that slipped through the cracks and have found functional corners, and he's got the traits to be a functional corner. So I think it's not a bad consolation to if they were indeed doing what I heard that they were doing. It's really just a matter of how quickly Jason comes in and can be a lot more consistent with his play on a down-by-down basis.
Well, that's the big thing. Your defensive coordinator's got to trust you, and that's been that's been a problem for some guys. It looked like at times during practice when we're out there and in preseason, they have some good plays. But if they're not playing and we see guys go down, then I go, well, defensive coordinator doesn't have trust yet, whether it's, Storm Duck played a lot, but Ethan Bonner, who had a great camp, and they're going, man, the guy can play. And then they're going, well, can he play? Because there's not a lot of confidence that we've seen in games where he's had opportunities to play. Is there any veteran cornerbacks? I looked at all of them, including some local guys that are still young. They're either a bunch of guys that have had injury problems or guys who just are aging coming off injury. So how do you find a guy? You do need a veteran guy.
Yeah, I know. I believe it was Barry Jackson reported that Rasul Douglas was a name that they had expressed some interest and reached out to. And I think that would be a great kind of name to put into this room, assuming you're moving on from Ramsey. And getting older, it's kind of like the bet that you placed on Kendall Fuller last year as far as an aging corner. And you never really know exactly how that's going to go throughout the course of a long season. But he could play at a high level. He's played at a fairly high level recently, but he's got that age wall that hit so many corners so fast that's right there. So I would not be interested personally in Asante Samuel Jr. is kind of the big name that's still out there in free agency, and a guy who's a little bit more undersized if they want to be more physical in the secondary. And then he's also had some shoulder stuff. And I think he's probably going to price himself out of what Miami's probably willing to pay, too.
Yeah. So How do you feel about Storm Duck? He had some good moments last year. Speaking of a free agent, what do you think of him?
I think you see the length and the burst,
right.
And I think he has the ability to be a physical player. I can't really shake that Green Bay game, which for me was a rough showing for Storm, and it had some costly miscues, and I think it kind of underscored his lack of experience. Now, if he takes that experience this offseason and being in the same scheme and that helps him and he takes a leap, I don't think we'll know until training camp or early in the season. But I'm totally fine with him being a part of the competition for reps, because I think you have a lot of young guys at corner that should all be competing with each other, and
right.
Somebody's going to level up their game. But for me, that was the big thing with Storm, was in that big moment when he had the opportunity to play in that big game, there were a couple of reps that maybe weren't played ideally, and it kind of cost Miami when that game was getting away from him.
So we go on and on about defense. I got to hit the other big area that people are screaming right now at me. The offensive line depth, we don't have it. Liam Eichenberg is basically, when you look at your starting five, and Liam is the next backup, and Borum, if you think he's good, is one of those guys. We need more guys. You got to get some more guys, right? We had great backup tackles last year from a young guy and a veteran on the other side. Now one's starting and the other one's gone to another team. You got to get some more guys in there you trust with some snaps, don't you?
Yeah. I would not totally dismiss the return of Keon Smith, who made a really promising leap in 23 and then tore his knee in 24 in the preseason, and we didn't see him all year. So I think Keon Smith is a worthy name to acknowledge, is probably worthy of a roster spot at a tackle spot, and he's done some inside-outside stuff in preseason the last couple of years, playing guard, playing tackle. So I would put Keon Smith into that conversation. I would like to get whether it's I mentioned Daniel Brunskill earlier from San Francisco, most recently was in Tennessee, or a Joe Noteboom who was with the Rams, you know, very familiar with the terminology, because those are a couple guys that have stops with the Shanahan coaching tree and all the terminology of the offense. Noteboom can play guard and tackle as well. I think you get one more guy that really has some flex, and you go across the board outside of Patrick Paul, you got Saba Ania, who can play guard and tackle, and you've got James Daniels, who could play guard, center, guard, and you've got Austin Jackson, who historically has played both tackle and also guard.
But don't you want to play those guys? Not to cut you off, but those guys, I love flexibility, and I understand guys get hurt. Do we know offensive lines get hurt. We've seen a bunch of it. We need to get one guy at one position, though, don't you? Don't we have a guy that needs to focus at one, yes?
Yeah, and for me, it's Patrick Paul, and then it's James Daniels, and then it's Aaron Brewer, and then it's Saba Ania on the right side next to Austin Jackson. And in a perfect world, those guys stay healthy and play all 17 games. But I'm just – if you've got – and then your depth guys can play all those spots as well. So I think you want to have a higher floor for the next man up. They seem to have some conviction for Larry Borum. But I guess my point is, if you get one more guy – really, Liam Eichenberg could be the third backup at either tackle or guard, and really the only place he's a true backup is at center.
Right. Yeah. No, we're just taking a look. Any other position, safety position, who do you like there if you were guessing right now, just the work that everybody's done? And I know we got a rookie that was a sixth-round pick last year that hasn't played that much and was active late in the year. But who would you expect to start if you were to guess two guys from this group, including a rookie that they just drafted?
It's probably Melifonwu and Ashton Davis to start the year. I'm interested to see the battle between Trader and McMorris and Elijah Campbell. I think that's a wide open spot. And if you told me one of the young guys by the end of the year kind of made the big leaps, they're both really smart guys. And Elijah's a smart guy too, but Elijah's just been in the league a little longer and kind of has a more defined special teams role that I could see him, you know, either sticking to that or potentially getting pushed off of by these younger guys. So if you told me one of the younger guys by midseason or by the end of the season ended up pushing past one of the veteran guys. I'd be surprised if it was Melifonwu just because of the versatility and all the things that he can do. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Ashton Davis came in and played, 5 years with the Jets, and you know, it kind of felt like you know what he was, and he was ideally a third safety. So I'm worried a little bit about the ceiling of that group, but I'm not. I really like the depth of that group. I think that has the opportunity to be a really deep group of guys that have some interchangeability. And I'll say this: you should not have the tackling issues you saw last year on the backs in the back of the defense with those two safeties that were back there last year. I'd be really surprised if the tackling issues that you saw were anywhere close to that this year, because between McMorris, Trader, he's a good tackler. Melifonwu's got a ton of length. So I think that is potential to be an improvement in that room, even if the ceiling and the all-around skill set of the room isn't quite what you are hoping to see when you knew they were going to remake the room in its entirety.
Kyle, last one for you. Quinn Ewers ends up another guy that kind of dropped. I thought he was going to go higher in the draft. I didn't see him as a seventh-round pick, and I was going to get your opinion on just a second. But you think if he knew, because he's got a $4 or $5 million contract on some college football teams, if he leaves Texas and goes somewhere else because Manning was going to start at Texas, you think he turns pro if he knows he's going in the seventh round and says, it doesn't matter, I got to get my NFL career started, or he goes back and makes some money?
It's tough, and it might just for Quinn come down to whether he wanted to transfer or not, because that balloon with the name Manning on it was swelling so much, I don't think you were going to be able to keep it in the bag for
another
year.
Not a third year. No way.
So I guess that for him is the personal preference of, do you want to get in the portal and start jumping around, or would you rather just say, hey, I was a part of bringing Texas back to national prominence, and now it's time for me to make that next transition and chapter. And he's done well for himself, I'm sure, with the NIL already. So, I can't speak. Everybody's a little different how ready they are to make those decisions, you know?
Right. Well, listen, you want to get started at this thing, and he'll get a great opportunity here to, you know, with some other young guys to get a chance to play. How many starters do we have in this group? We talked about, you and I, even last month or so, we need 3, we need 4, we need 5 starters. And I'm going, right now, I know I got 2, but I don't necessarily mean a guy that, like, starts the first play, but guys are going to be playing a lot on offense and defense. Could we have 4 or 5 guys in this group?
I'll say this for Jordan Phillips. I had a third-round grade on Phillips myself. And after night 1, I did a day 2 mock for the 33rd team. And at 48, I had him taking Savanea, and at 98, I had him taking Jordan Phillips. So the fact that you got Phillips there at 143, I'd consider him probably a 400-500 snap guy in a part of that defensive line rotation. Like, I kind of have that level of expectation for him. I think the point of attack stuff is really good. So I think you got 3 guys, the top 3 guys, I have expectations are going to be taking meaningful chop. What chop had like 500-600 snaps last year, like in that ballpark as the floor for the 2 guys on the defensive front.
Great.
And obviously you're expecting Savanea to be a starter for you at right guard.
Yeah, has to for sure. Kyle, great stuff today, man. Really appreciate it. And all the great stuff you're doing on Locked On Fins podcast has just been excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, Kyle Crabbs, nice enough to join us this morning. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. Got to go to break. Bill Lindsay, Panthers radio analyst, going to join us at 9 o'clock. Chippy, I love those games. I wish Tampa Bay and Florida Panthers could play about 25 times. Air around the clock tonight. You're going to rock, rock, rock with air around the clock. Air conditioning and plumbing. Hey, let's get right to the good stuff, man. The numbers. The numbers of great service mean trained and certified technicians, 135 trucks on the road, 7 days a week, 35 years of experience, and we are the water heater kings of South Florida, as well as air conditioning unit kings. We got a warehouse full of them, and I mean hundreds and hundreds, all different sizes. So when your water heater blows or your air conditioning unit is dead and not coming back, you want somebody that can come in, same-day installation, grab an air conditioning unit or a water heater and get you taken care of in the same day. That's what they do. That's all they do, matter of fact. That's part of having all those trucks on the road every day, taking good care of you, same-day installation, financing plans to help you out, licensed, experienced plumbers, and the best people for air conditioning, the best in the business, certified technicians, been trained by Air Around the Clock themselves to make sure they know how to do it the right way, still family-owned and operated, ready for you. All you have to do the next time you have an air conditioning problem is go 1-888-349-6922 or 1-888-FIX-MY-AC. Tell them Joe Rose said that we're all related at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
Charles, this reminds me of a karate movie when a guy comes into the town and just start beating everybody up. It's just like, okay. Snapping people, pow, pow, just coming through there. This is what this looks like, man.
This might be the worst game I've ever watched.
Ernie, I try not to ever use the word quit or choke. Because you can see, and I'm not very seldom using. This is quitting at its finest right here. This, like, I bet if we went to your house, all their stuff is already packed.
Well, no, it's not packed. They live in Miami.
No, you got to leave. Listen.
They live in Miami.
Dude, you lost by 38 the last game. You can't stay in Miami. You lost by 38 and you're down 40 at halftime.
You actually lost by 37.
Okay, my bad.
Game three.
If you lose by 37 then come back and lose by 40, you can't stay in town. If you know better.
Your, that's your house. Yeah. You lived there.
Bam Adebayo said, look, we're going to go down swinging.
Well,
he said, we're going to ride
Ernie,
it till the wheels fall off.
Ernie.
It's a karate movie.
Pow, pow.
We're going down. Bang.
Oh, stop it, man.
Police presence.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, man. That ain't fighting.
All right, the TNT group. I don't blame him. I mean, that was bad. 55-point loss. Look, and losing by 20, 25 is bad. You're like, all right, we got blown out. 55-point loss, had a 37-point loss. I got no problem if somebody says they quit. I don't think they quit. I just think the difference in talent between the two teams is and they don't have a lot of guys playing well right now. And by the way, now you go back and if you're going to evaluate your talent or reevaluate your talent against the number one team in the East by record, whether you think Boston's better or not, hopefully we'll find out down the road here. Hopefully they'll play each other. But that was bad. And I always say this, man, maybe you disagree, but I've had something like this happen. And, you know, regular season games are great, but you get in the playoffs, everybody wants to see how the best players, and as far as that goes, everybody plays, right? All right, you're now officially in. You won the play-in, you're in, you got a spot, you're the 8 seed, and you play like that. And Tyler Hero had a really, really good regular season. He did. He did. But Tyler Hero, for a second straight year, is going to remember how he played in the playoffs, getting knocked out. He did a lot of good things. He did. All-star game, almost 24 points a game. Played, was durable. I'm sure the team's happy overall. But he's going to remember a 1-for-10 that he had, and he's going to remember a 5-for-13 the game before in the two blowouts. And not that, hey, he could have scored 40, they're going to get their ass kicked. There's no question. And now you go back, and all those number one picks I was so excited about months ago, I don't know how good any of them are. Jaquez doesn't play at all. He got put in a doghouse and, you know, sophomore slump or whatever, and he's, you know, fresh start next year and we'll get you. I see everybody's nationally talking about the Heat culture is cracked. They're definitely a little crack in there. And the top of everything else, what really grinds my gears the most today is friggin' Jimmy Butler. Injured, comes back. 5 clutch field goals, free throws at the end of the game. Big rebound, has 27 points when they didn't know if he was going to play or not, but he said it's the playoffs. I'm playoff Jimmy, I play. And his coach comes out, yeah, if this is regular season, he'd have been out a week or two, but he loosened it up enough where he could really help us. And I'm like, wow. Meanwhile, now we wait for the most by the way, this will be the most entertaining part of this season is going to be Pat Riley. You never want to say that about your basketball team, and that's where you are. What will Pat Riley say about the way he handled the whole Jimmy Butler thing? Which, by the way, I don't give sitting here and give Jimmy Butler a hall pass. I mean, he kind of changed his tune as this thing went on. And if you felt this way from the start, knew you weren't coming back, should have told him. Should have told him before the year started. Could have Pat handled things differently? I guess for a lot of you, he could have talked to him differently. He could have left him out and told him to shut up if you're not playing in the – he could have, because we got to treat today's people a lot different than we used to. We can't yell and raise our voice, and if they act up, we still make them captains. You still get to be the leader because you've been really good around here. Really good. You got some problems away, including who's going to be the babysitter after minicamp, between minicamp and the start of the season. Who's got that job? Who's got that job? When the coach, see, this is what every coach does. They go, hey, man, make good decisions. Season's over. Let's get better. Let's work. Stay in shape, but get some time off. Spend it with your family. And then they have to say that final. I hear every coach, but make good decisions. You got 6 weeks off. Make good decisions, man. We may not see you around here. We know that. Make good decisions, man. So anyway, thank God for the Panthers. Thank God for the Panthers last night. What a comeback, man. Just so many, you get two goals from defensemen, Ekblad and Jones. Great stuff there. Ekblad goes to bat for his guy, Barkov, two of the original number one picks on this team, been together. I got your back. That's what that sport's all about. By the way, you do it against a good player in that league. There's one thing that's for sure. They're coming back after you at some point. That's going to happen. And they won the game with great, great penalty killing, including that five-minute major last night. So a lot of good things going on with the Panthers, and this is what really good teams do, man. Even when it's looking like with 4 minutes left, and you start, maybe you're going to leave the arena and go, well, maybe I ought to stay because this team, they're never out of it. That's right. I forgot about the Panthers last couple years in the playoffs. They did it again last night, man. Great stuff. Great, great stuff for this team. No question about it. We got more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on. And we'll see if Panthers can close it out. Going back up to Tampa Bay, but a lot of good stuff last night, man. A lot of good stuff and exciting last 4 minutes of that game, and now what will Tampa Bay do back? All right, Beverly's Jewelers, my jeweler, Goldie's Jeweler, Bo's Jeweler, take care of all of us. Take care of all the boys around here for a long, long time. Makeups and breakups and, well, I know we broke up, honey, but, let's get back together. I know I got a little bigger diamond. I know how this thing works. Well, Beverly's Jewelers is there for you, man. Just been there for me for more than 30 years. Got an incredible offer right now that you don't want to miss. He's got a stunning 3-carat certified lab-grown diamond. I mean, unbelievable. VVS Clarity, E-Color, set in a custom-made 14-carat diamond ring for just $3,999. If you can't wait any longer and you're on a tight budget but you really want to pop the big question to her, this is a way to go. It really is. And they have them in there. I want you to go look at it. And before you buy a diamond engagement ring or you need a big diamond for any cake, go look at that. Choose from all shapes, larger size available, similar savings, but hurry. This deal's only for a limited time, plus gold prices are at an all-time high. Beverly's paying top dollar for your gold, silver, diamonds, and jewelry with immediate payment. I trust Beverly's Jewelers for a long, long time. You can too. Birthdays, anniversaries, anything. They got something for everybody that's going to make you look like a superstar. In Fort Lauderdale, off Commercial Boulevard, or online at BevJewelers.com. Beverly's Jewelers, where South Florida gets engaged. Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there. By the way, the Marlins, man, they've had some losses, but they are playing their butts off, man. Out in L.A. last night, down big, come all the way back, tied up. Losing extra innings, but got a lot of young guys, man, playing really well, hitting the ball, coming up with big innings. They'll be back in just a couple of days here to open up a three-game series with the Oakland A's, followed by three games with the Dodgers, and they got a lot of cool stuff going on during the weekend, and, of course, Taco Tuesday for the Dodgers. So I wanted to say this so we can stop this one right now. You know, all you people going, why don't we do Jalen Ramsey for George Kittle? Why would they do that? George Kittle's a lot better at tight end than Jalen Ramsey is at cornerback, number one. I think George Kittle's the best all-around tight end in football still. And there's a lot of good pass-receiving tight ends, but nobody does the whole package like George Kittle. 4 years, $76 million, $40 million guaranteed. They're not letting that guy who's the leader of the team. By the way, first guy, when the guy walked off the field and quit last year, remember that? Linebacker found out he wasn't starting. He left. He quit. And George Kittle and a bunch of guys followed said, man, that's you quit on the team. You're done, man. You're done. That guy's a good leader move, too. You're going to keep your team together. They got a lot of guys they've had to replace. You want to keep some of that good leadership. And that guy is all about the good things. Has fun. Does it the right way. Plays hard. And the Jalen Ramsey thing's going to be real. That's going to be the next thing up here because he's not going to be back. Everybody's still trying to play nice and like, well, you know, Jalen could still be back. I go, really? That's equivalent to, let me give you what that's equivalent to. That's a divorce that has caught cheating on it. It's that bad. And you're going, well, let's give it another shot. And you're going.
What if you don't have any other option, though? I don't know who's out there saying trade him for George Kittle. I mean, that doesn't make any sense for.
No, they're throwing it in the package for salaries.
Those weird hypothetical ones that people come up with. Yeah.
No, because our coach, Mike, coached him and was offensive coordinator out in San Francisco, and everybody heard him whisper, you know, South Florida is a great place to live or something that people heard or something when he was talking to him. And Kittle, by the way, had a really good game against the Dolphins. One of the few guys that did have a really good game against them when they played here.
I do think that league, though, I don't think guys care where they live, what city they play in. It does not seem to matter in the NFL.
No,
you want to go to the good teams, you want to go where the money is.
Correct. Totally agree.
So I don't think, you know, with all things being equal here, people are like lining up to sign with the Dolphins.
Yeah, this is not the NBA. You're right.
No.
or baseball. I mean, if you're not, well, first of all, money has to do with the baseball thing, too, actually. So.
I don't think anyone's coming.
But I got to tell you, San Francisco Giants are out there offering money, and nobody wants to go, you know, and they've got off to a nice start, but the Giants aren't getting superstars to go out there, and they try to get in the running for every one of them because San Francisco will spend money. They come up short on all of them. They got guys that, hey, are hoping he'll come back home and play. Nah. Nah, but I want to use it for leverage if you'll make me an offer so I can get somebody else to up the price.
I'm sorry to hear that. I know you like that team a lot.
What's that?
The Giants.
No, the Giants.
Sorry to hear that.
They're off to a good start. I mean, for what they have, and they're playing pretty well. They just don't have star power of Philly and L.A. and New York and some of the other teams that are absolutely loaded right now. So anyway. On top of everything, we haven't talked about this for a second, but Kyle Krabs, it was good to hear him, man, talking about this Jordan Phillips, and he's going to play some. But for everybody out there that keeps writing that we have three nose tackles, you have to stop. They didn't draft three guys to play one position. And I was glad Kyle finally came out and said some of these guys are defensive tackles, meaning can play over a guard, can play inside a guard a little bit, outside a guard, over a tackle. You can play over him, but you can play wider, like Zach Sealer does on the other side. And so hopefully, sounds like we might have Jordan Phillips and Kenneth Grant playing together, getting some snaps together, 320 and 340. Big guys, actually all the guys that they drafted are bigger guys than we had. They were all 290 to 300 pound guys. So we got some bigger guys, but you have to get some pass rush out of some of these guys. Can't just be, everybody can't be a run stopper in a passing game. That's not going to help you. And you'll be limited on snaps if that's the case. And also, Kyle and I feel a little differently about the offensive line. He seems that I like starting five. I don't have a problem. If James Daniels can come back and play guard, I'm good. Patrick Paul just got to keep getting better. Play your rookie guard, whichever side he ends up playing. You got a veteran center in Brewer and Austin Jackson back at right tackle. I'm fine with that five. Now, problem is, we haven't had a healthy offensive line in so long, I forgot what one looks like. And that only a few teams get it. Buffalo's one of those teams, by the way. They basically play five guys all year. I swear to God, it's unbelievable. Go back and look it up. And maybe one guy gets banged up and a sixth guy plays a little bit. One of those rotating guys. But we got to get 6 and 7 and 8 ready to go. Now, he thinks we might have it on the team, and he feels the same way about the cornerback position with these young guys. And, Joe, some of these young guys are going to have to play. He might be right. We might be better off just playing some young guys, getting experience. They come back, they're a year better than they were last year, and let's go. Because last thing you want to do is get an injured guy that's 30, 31, 32 years old, a kid's here, and he's injured again. And you go, oh, no, here we go again. You don't. I'd rather play the young guys over that. I would. If you like them and you've seen improvement and you like the way they work, let's do it. Let's go with some of these guys that you've had on the team and haven't played a lot, but you trust them and they got enough snaps last year, you think they'll make the big move. Storm Duck. Storm Duck played a lot of football last year. Some was good, some was bad. Ethan Bonner, I don't know anything about Ethan Bonner. I don't. I've seen him good camp days. I've seen him bad camp days. Cam Smith, I don't know, except he's the highest pick of all of them. He's a second-round pick and our first pick taken in his draft a couple years ago. So I don't know how that's really – team's got to make some decisions. I understand. I don't think there's a lot out there in the cornerback position. I saw all those names. And I've seen guys that have been really, really good. Stephon Gilmore was a – defensive player of the year, but he's 34. Now, maybe they bring him. Played a lot of games last year. You can trust him. Got some other guys been banged up. Coming off injury, if you think they're healthy enough. But just putting this thing together, man, and you're going to have a lot of these draft picks. Have to get some snaps. Have to get some snaps. And he seems to think, Kyle Crabbs seems to think that first-round pick, second-round pick are going to start. And he thinks Jordan Phillips may not literally start the first play of the game to be a start, to get a start on incentives. But he thinks he'll play a lot of snaps like a starter. And we'll see what happens with the rest of them as they go through. Can Gordon get snaps with the rest of the running backs as a sixth-round pick? I know they like him a lot. Is he going to do enough that they're going, hey, we got to move him up and get him snaps? That also could be part of the game. I'll tell you what else part of the game. Billy Lindsay, Panthers radio analyst, is going to join us coming up here. Boy, tell you what, it's a good thing we booked Billy today, Billy boy, because we got a lot to talk about, man.
You think there's a suspension coming down?
I don't know.
There's got to be, right?
But if there is, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay because you went after one of their best players with a cheap shot, and there's got to be payback. That sport doesn't allow
it. I don't think everyone take cheap shots at guys, but
really, so just let guys do it to your guys. Is that what you think? Your best players?
I don't know. Ask Billy Lindsay, but I don't know. Do you want to go and crush a guy's head with your elbow?
I'm
going to
tell you right now, Billy Lindsay is going to tell you, if you go after one of my superstars.
I'm guessing he says that it would be fine to knock the crap out of the guy, but to
You know, Barkov's one of the best players in hockey.
I know, but to take a cheap shot with, you know, and try to hurt someone, I don't know that he's going to.
Well, you think the guy's doing
a cheerleader for that, but.
We're lucky he's not out for the whole series right now.
I agree with you.
Whew, man. All right. Hey, we got to go to break here. We'll talk to Billy Lindsay about that and going forward. And
I'm guessing he's not going to be like, oh, that was a great cheap shot. I loved it.
Woody, you're getting to be, honestly, between this and the basketball stuff, you're getting so super soft. I'm about ready to buy you an extra pillow in here. I got a new soft pillow. It's a really nice pillow. I'm sleeping better. I got an extra one. I want to give you my soft pillow. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about maybe not.
The Jimmy Butler stuff didn't go over well.
No.
You gotta be nice. You gotta be nice to people.
I threw an F-bomb out this morning. I didn't even mean to.
But you gotta be nice to people. People don't like to be, you know, trashed in public.
That's what you're doing to me right now.
That's the way
the old school people, that's the way they do it. We don't like, hey, is everything okay?
Fine. Then do it that way. But you gotta be prepared to deal with the consequences for the young guys.
I see how some of our teams are. I see it. You can't tell a guy to play more games and hurt his feeling and tell him if you're not playing, you might not talk in trash about the other team since you're not playing. By the way, that's been around for a long time. The guy that's not playing in a series is talking trash about a team that's kicking your ass in the playoffs. That doesn't go over real big. Hey, I got to tell you what does go over real big. Your South Florida Chevy dealers, man, they got some great products for you. And I don't mean just the big boy SUVs. It's your South Florida Chevy dealers. All 14 dealerships, South Florida. The big, beautiful 2025 Tahoe and the big, beautiful 2025 Suburban. Got all the room any one man and his family could want. Boy, is it nice. Gosh, man, is it nice. Then how about the midsize SUVs? The all-new Equinox. Boy, convenient driver tech. Got everything you need and a fantastic look. But my favorite of everything I'm going to talk about today as that 2025 Traverse. Boy, it's got a great look. I mean, the look on the outside. Coming out to dinner the other night, she goes, man, what is that? We're always looking at, you know, SUVs. I go, man, that's a Traverse. She goes, that thing is nice. And I go, wait till you sit inside one of those bad boys. Got all the room you could ever want and plenty of room for your cargo, turbocharged 2.5-liter engine. And then over to the strongest, most durable trucks in the business, a Silverado truck. So let's talk to the heavy lifting folks out there that need a truck to get through work every day, sometimes even 6-7 days a week. Well, we got 4 strong options with you, each one delivering commanding power with roll-formed high-strength steel, impressive cargo volume, 12 standard tie-downs, and the hardest-working bed in the business. Helps conquer your toughest jobs and all your pleasure on that boat that you're towing around on a weekend. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now here in South Florida.